Hello, everyone.
Hi there, boys and girls. Our Bible story today is found in the Old Testament, the book of Jonah. Listen carefully because at the end of the story, Aunt Sue and I will have something to share with you. I call the story...
The Man Who Ran Away from God.
The story of the man who ran away from God and his adventures took place hundreds of years ago when Judah and Israel were kingdoms under the leadership and protection of God. One day... a delicious dinner, Abigail.
Thank you, my husband. But then tonight is a special occasion. After all, it isn't often that we have the prophet Jonah as our guest.
Ah, indeed. And we are honored, Jonah, sir.
Thank you, Aminadab. Your hospitality and the charm of your lovely wife are known throughout Israel.
I'm told, Jonah, sir, that you have just left the king's summer palace.
Well, that's true. I was sent there with a message from heaven for the king. But now I am en route back to my home in Gath-Hepher of Galilee.
King Jeroboam II is a mighty monarch, as was his great-grandfather Jehu. He has built a great army of warriors for Israel, and he continually leads them to victory against our enemies.
Still, I sometimes wonder, all the war, can God be pleased? Wouldn't it be so much better if we lived in peace?
There, Jonah, you see how little women understand these things. But seriously, Jonah, sir, I myself look forward to the day when we shall be strong enough to defeat our worst enemy, the king of Nineveh.
Oh, and I. Yes, that will be a fine day for Israel.
Jonah, you prophesied concerning Damascus and Hamath. I have myself read in the official records how you foretold that King Jeroboam II would go to war and regain them. And he did.
Yes, magnificently.
Why not prophesy about the hated king of Nineveh? Prophesy that he and his city will meet some horrible disaster. But why not? The word of a true prophet of God has never failed. Never. If you prophesied evil to him, it would have to come to pass.
Oh, Aminadab. You misunderstand the work of a prophet.
What do you mean, sir?
Well, first, a true prophet can prophesy only when God speaks to him. Now, secondly, he must speak exactly what God tells him.
I see.
Not a word more, not a word less.
I see. Well, nevertheless, they are an evil heathen nation. They worship abominable idols. I'm sure God hates them.
Aminadab, that's not true. Jehovah is a great, kind God. He loves everyone, everywhere.
Even our enemies? Even Nineveh? No, I can't believe that.
You cheer up, Aminadab. I think I have a bit of information that'll please you. As you know, we prophets are not supposed to be... partisan, but privately, now quite privately, mind you. I share your feelings about Nineveh. Aminadab, I despise them, utterly despise them.
Good. And may Israel be rid of her enemy Nineveh forever.
Well, now, I must bid you good night.
My servants will saddle your camel, my lord.
Oh, thank you. Oh, until I see you again, may the blessings of heaven rest upon this dwelling and upon your sons and daughters, Aminadab.
Thank you, Jonah.
Do come again, Jonah, sir. We are your humble servants.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir.
The prophet of God, Jonah, dwelt in the town of Gath-Hepher. Here he carried on his customary duties. One evening...
Jonah!
What? Who is it?
Look here. In the flame ascending above the altar.
Angel. The angel of the Lord.
I bear you a message from heaven, Jonah.
Speak, angel. I delight to hear the will of the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord God, the Lord of hosts. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness has come up before me.
Thank you, angel. Oh, thank you. At last the prophecy I awaited so long. May all the enemies of Israel so perish. When shall I depart?
Immediately.
Good. I shall preach this message. I shall preach it mightily, and then Jehovah shall destroy them. They shall never more... But Angel, peradventure, they believe my message. What if the people of Nineveh repent of their sins and turn from their evil ways? Would God destroy them? Shall the prophecy still come to pass? Would the Lord God spare the heathen and have mercy upon the avowed enemies of his people Israel?
O Jonah, man of God, knowest thou not the scriptures? Hath not God said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy?
But, Angel, should God spare the Ninevites, I would be called a false prophet, and I... He's gone.
That stern and patriotic man of God, the prophet Jonah, has learned of God's purpose to destroy the wicked city of Nineveh. As a prophet of God, he is charged with the responsibility of carrying the fearful message to the people of Nineveh. But instead of immediately setting out upon his journey, he allows his mind to dwell upon the possibility of his being regarded as a false prophet.
All Israel and Judah acknowledge that no prophecy of mine has ever failed to come to pass. Yet, if I preach Nineveh's doom and it doesn't come about, people will lose confidence in me.
Jealous of his reputation and becoming discouraged, Jonah loses sight of the infinitely greater value of souls in that wretched city of Nineveh. He determines upon a bold plan, a daring plan.
Yes, that's what I'll do. I'll run away. Rather than preach to Nineveh and have it repent, rather than see those vile people spared, I shall leave Israel forever. I'll flee. I'll disguise myself and run away. But where? Over the sea? Yes. Yes, that's it. I'll take a ship. Jehovah will never be able to find me. Tomorrow. I will leave tomorrow.
So Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish.
Are you the shipmaster?
I am. The sailors call me Captain Ahab. But I've no time to talk with you. We're loading an expensive cargo. Sailing in an hour.
Well, I'd like to be with you.
Sorry.
What do you mean?
I mean we can't take you on.
Why not?
We have no room.
Please. I must get out of Joppa. I'm willing to pay you well. Here, take this money.
There's 6, 9, 10 pieces of gold here.
Take them. Only let me sail with you.
Oh, no. Just a minute. Yes. You have a strange look about you.
No. 12 pieces of gold.
13, perhaps?
You rogue, you'll take 12 and nothing. I'd rather...
No, sir. Don't be angry. I meant no offense. Well, a poor fella has to fish for all he can get these days, you know. 12 gold pieces it is.
Good.
My men will help you with your baggage. Sailor!
Aye, sir.
Another passenger's joined us. Take his belongings below. And see to it that he's made comfortable with the other passengers.
Aye, sir.
Good. This captain has seen me often, but he doesn't suspect a thing. And, none of these rough, ignorant sailors will suspect that I'm a prophet either. I'll get to Tarshish in several months. Travel overland from there.
Where are you going, Jonah?
I don't know. But I'm leaving forever. And Jehovah, the Lord God of Israel, will never be able to find me. Never.
Jonah, fleeing from the command of God, is on his way across the great sea.
It'll be a good trip, first mate. The weather's fine.
Yes, Captain. Things are getting along smoothly. Should be one of our best sailings.
Two days passed uneventfully. and a third day. Then night fell. All was calm. The ship, with its slave oarsmen dipping their oars rhythmically into the blue sea, sailed sleekly over the waves. And above, the stars shone peacefully down. But suddenly...
Captain, do you hear that?
Huh? Hear what? You're as jumpy as a cat tonight.
That noise, like the rushing of a wind.
I don't hear any wind. Imagining things. Most peaceful night I've seen in 20 years as a shipmaster. You need some sleep.
Minutes pass, and the two men, Captain Ahab and the first mate, silently keep watch. Then...
There, Captain Ahab, there, you hear?
Huh? What is it, man?
Why, you're as white as a sheet.
I heard it.
You're actually trembling with fright. What is it, first mate? Tell me.
Sir, I fear some terrible disaster is about to swallow us alive.
Yes, I feel it too. A kind of doom hovering over us. I don't hear anything. But I felt uneasy the last two nights, as though an eye, the eye of the god Baal perhaps, were peering down on my ship, sweeping over it fore and aft, searching for something. Or someone.
Captain Ahab, I'm afraid.
Courage, sailor. Night will soon be over. Maybe we can escape this, this feeling. Our fears are often only phantoms of the mind.
Hours pass. Weary with their watch, the captain and the first mate fall asleep. A deadly trance comes over the oarsmen, and the oars slip mysteriously from their grasp. From out of the southern sky, as if driven by an invisible shepherd, inky black clouds gather, tumbling and scurrying along. Sleeping fitfully, the first mate, as he tosses and turns, seems to hear a voice, a thunderous voice, calling,
Jonah! Jonah! Jonah!
No. I'm in trouble. Trouble. Captain Ahab!
What is it, mate?
We're going to have a storm.
Look at that sky. I've never seen it so black and threatening.
The oarsmen, they're all asleep in a stupor.
I'll wake them up, man. Hurry!
A furious storm erupts. The sea, so calm and peaceful until now, suddenly becomes aroused, angry. It whips and churns with fierce, towering tidal waves, and the huge boat is tossed about like a piece of driftwood. Terror-stricken, the captain and rudely awakened sailors know they are in the grip of death. Death at sea. What the heathen sailors do not realize as they frantically call upon Baal is that the powerful storm has been sent not by Baal, but by Jehovah, King of Heaven, searching for Jonah.
Mate! First mate, jettison the cargo! Let every oarsman and passenger on board pray! Tell them to stretch forth their arms to heaven!
Everyone is accounted for in praying, Captain Ahab. All except one man. That strange fellow who came on board just before we put to sea.
Where is he?
He's asleep, sir.
Asleep? In a raging storm like this? Why, that man must be bewitched. Where is he?
The hold of the ship, Captain.
I tell you, mate, we must have a devil on board. Never have I seen such peril. Have the men cast lots to see if we can find out whom the gods seek aboard this ship. In the meantime, I'll go down and waken him. We need his help. Asleep.
Down in the hold of the ship, the captain discovers Jonah fast asleep.
Hail! Wake up! Wake up!
What? Who is it?
Get up, man! Get up! How can you sleep when we're in the midst of the worst storm in history? Arise and call upon your God.
Storm. Did Did you say storm, Captain?
Yes, I said storm! Why, in all my years at sea, I...
Why are you looking at me like that, Captain?
You. I knew it. Something warned me from the first time I laid eyes on you back there at the dock in Choppa. Who are you?
Well, I'm... you're right, Captain Ahab. I'm Jonah, the prophet Jonah.
Jonah!
Yes, Captain. And this violent storm is on my account. You see, a week ago, God commanded me to go to Nineveh with a message of destruction. Instead, I decided to run away. I determined to flee on your ship to Tarshish.
Aha! So that's it. And now your God is going to visit the destruction men for Nineveh on us, on my ship, and these poor guiltless sailors and passengers.
No, Captain. I know just what to do.
What, man, what?
Toss me overboard.
Toss you out into that raging sea?
Yes, Captain, it's the only way. God doesn't want your lives. He's seeking me.
I'll do it. I'm sorry, Jonah, but it seems to be the only way. I've got to protect the lives of my sailors and passengers.
So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea.
There he goes, Captain. Poor Jonah. The oarsmen have just flung him. Captain!
Steady, mate, steady. What's wrong with
that? That hulk rising out of the sea. It's horrible. It's headed straight for Jonah.
What a monster. So ugly. No. Why, it's swallowing Jonah.
The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights.
Who can escape thee, O Jehovah, Lord, God of hosts? I've sinned and been disobedient. But if thou wilt deliver me, if you will deliver me from the stomach of this great fish, I will go to Nineveh. I will go to Nineveh and preach.
Jonah repents of his great sin. He vows to obey Jehovah. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land.
Hear, O ye people of Nineveh! Listen to what Jehovah, the God of heaven, declares.
Who's that man?
Yet 40 days... and Nineveh shall be overthrown.
Yeah, hear what he says.
The king must hear of this. The king speed messengers to him.
Oh, great king, descendant of Nimrod the mighty, a strange man has appeared at the gates of the city, prophesying doom to you and to your people.
I have no time to listen to madmen raving their grotesque fantasies. We are busy, Chamberlain, preparing for the festivities of the evening.
But sire,
tonight I entertain the visiting queen of Babylon. Oh, she is lovely, lovely. And on our royal person she bestows the most heavenly smiles.
But sire, this stranger is tall and commanding in appearance, and he is stirring up the people. There is a great tumult throughout the city. He proclaims that in 40 days, Nineveh will be wiped out.
Like Sodom and Gomorrah, I suppose.
Yes, like Sodom and Gomorrah, your majesty. How did you know?
Doesn't every soothsayer say as much? Don't they all use the same old ruse to frighten the people? Well, he's probably harmless enough. My good man, if I became upset every time an old fossil clad in rags cried, "Doom, doom," I'd... Oh, slave, hand me my golden sandals and slip them... Easy. Oh, that bunion.
Your Majesty, I...
Chamberlain, can't you see I'm busy?
Well, I thought you might like to know that the nationality of the strange prophet.
Well?
He's a Hebrew, Your Majesty.
A Hebrew?
Yes, O king.
A Hebrew prophet here in Nineveh?
Yes, sire.
I see. Slave, you may go.
Your majesty is pale, trembling. Shall I get a goblet of...
No, I'll be all right. Just let me sit down here a moment. Now, tell me, what does this strange man say concerning me and my kingdom? Well, speak up.
He predicts that 40 days from now, Jehovah, the God of the Hebrews, will rain down destruction from heaven on you and on the people of Nineveh.
But why? I'm a good man. I've always tried to do right. Whenever it was convenient, of course.
Punishment for our crimes, the prophet says. Our great crimes which have come to the attention of the Lord of hosts.
Oh, no, it can't be. Nineveh destroyed in 40 days. Why, we are the greatest city, the greatest people since... By the way, Chamberlain, what is this prophet's name?
Your Majesty, the prophet's name is Jonah.
Jonah? I've heard of him. Never has a prophecy of that man failed. His word is the word of truth.
Quite correct, Your Majesty.
Then what he says about me and my people is true. We have sinned against God and provoked him to anger. Oh, Chamberlain, send messengers to every corner of the city. Proclaim a fast. Tell the people to repent of their grievous sins and implore heaven for pity. I will even humble myself before God in sackcloth and ashes. Well, now hurry. We haven't much time.
So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even unto the least of them. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Jonah went out of the city. When he reached the east gate, he sat down and waited.
God has spared these vile Ninevites and their king. Spared these creatures who have done so much harm to Judah and Israel. Jehovah knew that I hated them, and yet he spared them. Why? Why?
Thus is fulfilled the word of the Lord, O Jonah. I will exalt my name among the heathen. The heathen shall fear the name of the Lord.
Yes, angel, but what of me? What of me? God doesn't care anything about me and my reputation. Every word that I have uttered has come true up till now. God commanded me to forecast Nineveh's doom. I did it. Now he won't destroy it.
Sorrowfully, filled with embarrassment and self-pity, Jonah continues to sit in the scorching sun on the hillside at the east gate of the city, hoping against hope that Jehovah will change his mind and really destroy Nineveh. So hot is the plain of Nineveh, so blistering is the sun, that Jonah nearly faints with heat and exhaustion.
Oh, it's so hot here. If only there was some shade in this plain. There isn't a single tree, nothing.
Through an angel, God endeavors to teach the proud prophet a lesson. Using the sultry weather as a means, God miraculously causes to spring from the parched earth an exotic climbing plant called a gourd. It shoots up to a height of 8 or 10 feet. Jonah is grateful for the gourd, for it provides him shade. Mystified, Jonah watches it rear higher and higher, spreading its leaves over him.
Oh, that gourd. Bless that gourd. It's so cooling and shady. I shall be able to wait comfortably here at the gate of Nineveh.
But the angel of the Lord prepared a worm when morning came, and the worm smote the gourd, causing it to wither. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, causing him again to faint with the heat.
The gourd, it's withered up. The sun is hot, so blisteringly hot. I feel faint.
Jonah! Jonah!
Angel, you've come back. I'm so glad to see you, but this heat is terrible. Yesterday, a gourd sprang up, and I found shelter under it.
What happened to the gourd, Jonah?
A worm. A giant worm came. Caused the gourd to wither overnight. The lovely gourd. The worm destroyed it.
Are you angry? Angry because the worm destroyed the gourd, Jonah?
Yes, I am angry. Mortally angry.
Hear ye the word of the Lord, Jonah. You have had pity on the gourd, on a mere plant. You didn't toil for it. You spent no labor upon it, yet you didn't like to see it destroyed. What about human beings, Jonah? Are they not more valuable than a mere plant? And should not the Lord God spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 people that cannot discern between their left hand and their right hand?
Jonah should have rejoiced because of God's amazing grace, but instead he allowed his mind to dwell upon the possibility of his being regarded as a false prophet. Jealous of his reputation, he lost sight of the infinitely greater value of the souls in that wretched city.
Boys and girls, Uncle Dan promised that we would have something to share with you at the end of today's story.
Yes, some of you who heard today's story may have some doubts about it really being a true story. Well, a friend of ours, Ernest Wendt, did some research on this fish story, and here's what he discovered. He writes,
"Thanks to my hobby, I discovered that a certain large fish can swallow a man whole, as in the story of Jonah. Jonah was not necessarily swallowed by a whale, for the original Hebrew only refers to a big fish. The New Testament Greek word translated whale in Matthew 12:40 refers to any marine monster."
Continuing his research, Mr. Wendt writes, "This includes the 30-foot-long white shark, which has been known to swallow intact entire bodies of large animals. According to naturalists, this shark will also occasionally throw up whole and alive their recently swallowed victims."
Mr. Wendt continues, "Can a whale do the same? Many species cannot, but the sperm whale, once common in the Mediterranean, can. I also discovered that a whaling industry existed in the Middle East at the time of Jonah, and that the port of Joppa was a whaling center."